Please be seated. There is that moment when you are down, I mean really down, and you need direction from the Good Shepherd. There's moments when you're down, really down, and you need help, like you have from the Good Samaritan. We continue our series looking at a familiar psalm. And about everybody, I think, knows that psalm that we just read, the 23rd. Could be referenced very easily. I remember even a comedy skit once where these two people were in a scary situation and now, what are you doing? I'm just thinking the 23rd Psalm, and that's all she had to say to get the laugh. Everybody would have, at that time, would have understood what it was about. And we had this beloved parable of the Good Samaritan, so well known that they'll simply state in this country, in this place, there's a Good Samaritan law. Meaning that if you're trying to help somebody, you see on the side, you can't get sued. It's just referenced as, or hospitals called Good Samaritan Hospital, to maybe the most well-known parable, the most well-known psalm together. And as I said last week, back in Doron, the pastor there did a series, didn't combine them, did one on the psalms and then one on the parables. But each time that our friend Tom heard it, something came to mind. Remember, Tom owns the best body shop and auto repair in five counties there in East Texas behind the Pine Curtain. Hearing these, we see three things about God. We see that God sees and moves toward the wounded, those with spiritual, physical, and emotional needs. Jesus met those with the physical needs, feeding, and those whose physical need seemed to be connected to a spiritual need. Think of the man who was paralyzed. Your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk. Two for one kind of healing there. Tom remembers a man who came to his shop. A simple repair was needed. He was in town on business, a small fender bender. He was not at fault, but just, you know, be easier. It's small. Just get it fixed. Let's not bring insurance in on it and how complicated that can be. And it had been recommended. And so he went to Tom's place. And it was a slow day and the man began a conversation. Now, he was very friendly. But Tom could not help but notice the Armani suit and the Gucci shoes. And so talking about what brought him to town and the business. And the next thing you know, this very successful man was crying. Tom very discreetly, quickly moved into the back office, the one where only his wife is allowed to enter, to hear the man's story. And behind all of this truly financial success, with an MBA and a law degree and all of that, his personal life was coming apart. At that point, he just needed somebody who would listen. Now, the fellow's from Fort Worth, and Tom knows everybody in Texas, and so he got him connected with people that could help him in his situation. But at that moment, he needed a good Samaritan, the good old boy in East Texas, the guy in the Armani suit. Or he thought of another guy who at one point was telling Tom, you know, I promised myself, the one thing I promised myself, I would not be the alcoholic like I saw at home growing up. And now I'm looking at myself in the mirror, and while yes, it's early stages, that's exactly what I have become. And I'm that guy on the dirt road. As Tom spoke with him, that man could see Jesus reaching out to him as Tom got him connected. You see, the man had come to Doe Run. It was a place to go and needed a job. And he helped him get started again, discreetly and quietly back on the road. So we see Jesus reaching to those, caring for those, the physical, spiritual needs. But we also see that mission, it's that God cares holistically. And that mission is, mission's about the body and the spirit. It's about the variety of needs. It's local as well as global. I remember Marge Carpenter, some of you may have heard her speak, former moderator in the Presbyterian Church, talked about once on mission and said, people say, oh, I just care about local mission or it's all about global. And she said, it's not either or. It's both and. A healthy church has a connection with both. And just like the mission, it should be, yes, the spreading the gospel, but also sometimes that is done through medical mission or through education or through other means. And at times the church has gone very heavily up, just preach to them. But sometimes it's gone so heavily, just do things, never mention Jesus. And the sweet spot is in between. Again, we know the examples, ignoring some physical needs, but all that just gave the gospel, the good news of salvation. But then I also know a fellow was working at a church, and he wasn't sure exactly what the backstory was, but he said, there we were with the youth. They were actually giving out some kind of goodie bags. But the person said, don't tell them we're from a church. Now, he understood sometimes you do want the discreet, under the radar, but said, even if they ask, well, why are you doing this, don't tell them. And he's thinking, well, they're asking you. You ought to give them an answer. But it was almost, oh my gosh, we can't mention Jesus while we do mission kind of mindset. And not really sure. He said, I never really sure what was her backstory. So I don't want to, throw her under the bus. But there was, again, sometimes they've seen so much on this side, they go to this side. The sweet spot is in between. And it's about everything. You should be caring about all. All is sacred. Now, it's about caring for the whole needs. And this is a reminder that sometimes that caring for the need might mean a nice nudge or a redirection or a wake up, smell the coffee moment of discipline. Sometimes the most compassionate thing that can be done, that's what I would say, is a strategic kick in the pants. You're going the wrong way. That's what the shepherd does with that crook. It can be used to defend the sheep. It can be used to redirect the sheep. Jesus is there to cheer us on, but also to correct. It's holistic. And then finally we see, go and do likewise. That was the word given to the lawyer who had asked, who is my neighbor? And so Jesus shared the example and gave the most radical kind of example. The Samaritan, who by the Jews was thoroughly disliked. I used to tell this story, fifth grade Logos, back in Columbus, and I would use the illustration of there was an Auburn fan going on the road. They fell among thieves. And an Alabama fan had compassion on him. I said, the president of the Auburn Alumni Association, the president of the university, they all walked past. But an Alabama fan had mercy on him. And I'll never forget the year one girl said, oh, there's no way that would happen, that the Alabama fan would have kind of compassion on the Auburn fan. I spent the bulk of the class, I don't know if I ever finished the lesson. No, never would happen. There's no way that would happen. I said, well, you understand, that's how they first heard it. But he used that, so in a way she did get the point. It was very radical, but that was a hard lesson that day. Jesus picked the most radical example, the Samaritan. But he said, go and do likewise, be that neighbor. And so that's it. Go and do, show that, you've been shown kindness, you show it to others. Reflecting on that song came to mind. That was done about 26 years ago. Clay Walker sang it. And it begins, he was driving home one evening in his beat-up Pontiac when an old lady flagged him down. Her Mercedes had a flat. He could see that she was frightened, standing out there in the snow, till he said, "I'm here to help you, ma'am. By the way, my name is Joe." She said, "I'm from St. Louis, and I'm only passing through. I must have seen 100 cars go by. This is awful nice of you." And when he changed the tire and closed her trunk and was about to drive away, she said, "How much do I owe you?" And here's what he had to say. "You don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. And someone once helped me out just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you." Well, a few miles down the road, the lady saw a small cafe. She went in to grab a bite and then be on her way. But she couldn't help notice how the waitress smiled so sweet and how she must have been 8 months along and dead on her feet. Now, she didn't know her story, and she probably never will. When the waitress went to get her change from a $100 bill, the lady slipped right out the door and on a napkin left a note. There were tears in the waitress's eyes as she read what she wrote. "You don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. Someone once helped me out just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you." That night when she got home from work, the waitress climbed into bed. She was thinking about the money and what the lady's note had said. As her husband lay there sleeping, she whispered soft and low, "Everything's going to be all right. I love you, Joe. Go and do likewise." The simple acts of compassion, the simple acts of serving along the way, the opportunities that present themselves. A retired firefighter ran into a former rescuee at a grocery store, someone he pulled out of a wreck 15 years prior. The man, now a dad and coach, thanked him through tears. And the firefighter said, "I don't remember that day, but I remember we don't leave people behind." And God is like that, present in a crisis, though we may forget. God doesn't rescue us because he has to, but because he doesn't leave the broken behind. And Tom, as I said, is the guy who can give you there to get your break, to get your second chance, and sometimes the third time. You need that third time, but it's good. Third time is always the charm. Once a young fellow was working there, 18-year-old intern, you might call him, but he was getting there, and he badly botched a paint job on a customer's vintage car. And that young fellow expected to be fired. "This is it, I've done it." But instead, Tom took the time to walk him through the process again, stayed late with him to fix it, and then told the customer the issue had been on the shop, not the kid. Like the Samaritan, Tom saw a crisis, not as a reason to condemn, but to mentor and to lift. And like the shepherd, he restored without humiliation. Tom had to start somewhere too. He had been there. This parable and this song, paired together, give us a truckload of lessons. I could probably do a 6-week series just on these two paired together. Compare, contrast, pull out points. At the time we see compassion and in service, ways of encouraging, lifting up. And like I said, sometimes the most best thing you can do is to give a challenging word to someone, a gentle, prayerful kick in the pants. Here we see, as Jesus speaks in the parable, as the psalmist shares about the character of God, we see that God sees and moves towards the wounded, those in need, those with a need. God cares for us wholly. And then he calls us to go and do likewise. These words are here for us today. Maybe for you it's an encouragement. Maybe for you it's a lifeline. Maybe for you it's, in a way, its own gentle nudge or kick. However the Spirit is speaking to you today, may you respond as God has called you to respond. Amen.